And I believe we're on a short break here, and then we'll get started once you're been. Great. All right. So this is Atul, and we are going to do a new presentation on Jyotish. You should be able to see it now. Here we go. If you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the chat as I go through. So we are going to cover the signs of the zodiac, or from Hora, Vedic astrology. So what is the zodiac? It's a visible map of the sky. We have different constellations. You have clusters of stars in the sky that have different patterns. And these are constellations, literally from a group of stars. The movement of stars in the sky gives rise to different shapes called the rising constellation or the rising sign, depending on which part of this wheel of the zodiac. It's like an imaginary wheel that surrounds the earth. What part of it is crossing the horizon is called the part that's rising. They also have an association with different Panchamahabhutas, earth, water, fire, air, and so forth. So these constellations were given names a long time back from Greek and Roman origins. And the word zodiac comes from the Greek word zodiakos kuklos, which literally means a circle of animals. In 1929, there is, I believe still, this is the current number, there are officially 88 constellations that are designated. So these are actual constellation names that, you know, astronomers will use to refer to positions in the sky. If we watch the path of the sun against the sky, and it appears to follow what's called the plane of the ecliptic, and that's basically the plane of the earth orbiting the sun, which means that our apparent motion of the sun is to orbit the earth. Nowadays, there are people who think that the sun is actually orbiting the earth, but actually in India, we've known for a very long time, that's not the case. The earth actually orbits the sun, but the apparent motion of the earth around the sun is used for many different things. There's a Sanskrit work called Surya Siddhanta, which describes astronomy in a manner pretty consonant with modern ideas of astronomy. So basically there are 12 constellations. So we've divided this 360 degree circle into 12 sections of 30 degrees each. And these signs are Aries through Pisces, okay? So Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So what are some of the differences between Western versus Vedic astrology? In Western astrology, we go with the tropical zodiac. There are 12 signs, and they may not necessarily be equal. They may not be 30 degrees each. The degrees are divided into 60 minutes and each minute in 60 seconds. This is true in both. And it has an orientation to the seasons. There is a difference of 23 degrees, which is, if you are familiar with your astronomy, that's the Earth's axial tilt. All right, here we go. That is the tilt of the tropics. That's why the Tropic of Cancer is 23 degrees latitude above the equator, and the Tropic of Cancer, Capricorn, is 23 degrees below the equator. Okay, those are the tropics. And the sun in the middle of summer, the sun is going to be directly overhead at the farthest north point, what's summer in the northern hemisphere. So if you were right at 23 degrees latitude in the middle of the day on the summer solstice, the sun would be right overhead. Okay. And the sidereal zodiac, I need to fix this. This is mixed up. So we use in the sidereal zodiac, it's fixed. There's a fixed star position, which is the start of origin. And in the tropical zodiac, the difference is goes with the ayanamsha. Okay. So we are using the sidereal zodiac. This is the fixed star position, or sidereal from stars, right? And we also use 12 signs of 30 degrees each. These are all 30 degrees. In Western astrology, there are different house systems that might sometimes have one house might be 28 degrees, another one might be 36 degrees. It depends on the latitude and so forth. But in Vedic astrology, in Jyotish, we always have 12 signs of 30 degrees each. All right, so we're now going to talk more about Western astrology. Everything from this point on is going to be covering Jyotish or Vedic astrology. And our main reference for this is the Brihat Parashara Hora Shastra. This is an authoritative text. It is accepted. All Jyotishis, all Vedic astrologers accept this as the primary authority on Jyotish. There are other books on Jyotish as well. Brihat Samhita and others, but this is the main one, Brihat Parashara Hora Shastra. So there is a verse there, Yad Avyaktatmako Vishnu Kalarupo Janardanaha Tasyangani Nibodha Me Tvam Kraman Me Shadirashayaha. Tasyangani Nibodha Tvam. The 12 signs are limbs of Sri Janardan or Vishnu. The 12 signs of the zodiac represent the Vishnu avatars, who is known as Kalapurush, the Lord of Time. In other words, time personified. You know, when the there was the test of the first atom bomb, the chief scientist there, Robert Oppenheimer, quoted a verse from Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmi. Time I am. Basically, he was witnessing such a very intimidating force that had been unleashed, and he thought of this verse from the Gita where Krishna has shown his Virat Rupa, or his universal form, which has Arjun struck with wonder and awe and fear, and Krishna is saying, I am time and I devour everyone. So these 12 signs, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, are the head, face, arms, heart, stomach, hip, and other parts of the body of the Kalapurush. And the 12 signs always begin with Aries. So Aries is sign number one. So they go from 1 to 12, where 1 is Aries and 12 is Pisces. So we have a limited life. Our human form of life is limited. We are born, we live for some time, and we die. So Jyotish says that we are getting results of our previous lives. These results that were given based on our activities in previous lives are going to be given in this life. The placements of these houses and the 12 signs lays out the blueprint of karma that's going to play out in this life. In other words, we're going to be getting a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of distress. Sometimes people ask, what about free will? Well, so my answer on the free will question is that, you know, you've been given a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of distress. You can act in different ways that might affect the form in which you receive your happiness and the form in which you receive your distress. But the amount of happiness and the amount of distress is already determined, and it's based on your own actions in previous lives. We just don't see it. So we think that, you know, if someone is a good person and they appear to be suffering, we say, how could that be? It seems very unrighteous. And sometimes we see a very wicked person who just seems to be living high off the hog, and they're enjoying life, and they have all kinds of things. They have money, and they have land and vehicles and everything. And we say, how could there be justice if such a person gets to be in an important position and, you know, cause distress to so many other people? And that is also the action of karma. Okay, so Kalapurusha, or time, represents our limitations. And we also see represented in the horoscope Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. We can also see representation of diseases. If there are chronic diseases that we are undergoing, these may be indicated. If we are destined to have respiratory problems, you know, for example, in my case, I have Saturn and Jupiter are together. Now, they're both very strong planets, but there's an affliction on Jupiter. Jupiter's in his own sign in the seventh house, but Jupiter is with Saturn, and Jupiter is getting a strong aspect of Mars. And the and there is also the association of Saturn being lord of the eighth house, and this causes chronic mild respiratory problems. If Jupiter was not so strong, the respiratory problems would be more severe. Why? Because Jupiter is associated with the lungs. So that's just an example of how we can look at the chart and we can see where the planetary influence is indicating a karmic issue that we may experience in our life. The seven dhatus or tissues are also represented in our Rashi chart ascendant. What's the rising time at the time of birth in the eastern direction? We're going to talk about that. We'll explain what the rising sign is. Okay. So what are the 12 signs? So you have three air signs, which are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. Three fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Three earth signs, Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. And three water signs, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. We also have another way that they're divided up. We say that they are either mobile, which includes Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. These are all mobile. And there are four fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. There are also four dual signs. That means they have attributes of both mobile and fixed, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. Now, if you're starting to feel a little confused at this point, relax. It's not anything to sweat about, because these signs, for Gemini, for example, Gemini is an air sign. It's also a dual sign. And Gemini is ruled by Mercury. It has qualities of being both mobile and fixed. It can change its nature. These are things that we're trying to describe, things that you cannot get your hand on. You cannot, you know, come face to face with an astrological sign. So attributes are described in terms that we can understand. So every one of these signs rules one portion of a horoscope. This portion is called a house or bhava. And there are 12 houses in a horoscope. Each house is ruled by one of the 12 signs or rashis. And every sign has a ruler or adhipati, the boss. These are the lords, the rulers of the Adipati. And what are the rulers? They are the different celestial bodies, the different planets, depending on the sign. Okay, you ask, what are the rulers? Well, that's in another slide. First, let's look at the horoscope. So when we calculate the chart, there are different styles. There's the North Indian style and a South Indian style. Okay, so this is the North Indian style, and the houses are determined by the ascendant or lagna, going from 1 to 12. In the North Indian style, this right here is always the first house or the ascendant. Okay. There are 12 signs, and they start by what is the sign of the lagna. In this chart, Gemini, which is the third sign, is in the lagna, and it's only indicated by the number 3. So this is the sign 4 for Cancer, 5 for Leo, 6 for Virgo, 7 for Libra, 8 for Scorpio, 9 for Sagittarius, 10 for Capricorn, 11 for Aquarius, and 12 for Pisces. And then the 11th house has 1 for Aries, and the 12th house has 2 for Taurus. Okay, so that's basically a very common diagram you might see. This one has a little bit of a lotus leaf embellishment, but it's basically a pretty simple grid. Here you can see a more simple one. It's very easy to draw. It's a convenient thing. You know, here is the another example. In this case, you have Capricorn, and there's the symbol for the zodiac sign of Capricorn. And here the houses are numbered. House 1, house 2, house 3, house 4, house 5, house 6, house 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And we're using signs to show the different signs of the zodiac. It always goes counterclockwise in the North Indian style. There are some relations that are easy to pick out. For example, here, Venus is in one of the trines. That's 1, 5, and 9. These are called the trine houses, the trikona, the three angles. These are very important houses. There's also the quadrangle houses, the quads, 1, 4, 7, and 10. These are also very important. There are other houses that have a significance, like 6, 8, and 12. Those are called sometimes the trick houses. We will talk about those in another presentation. All right, so at this point, all you need to know is here are the houses. 1, house 2, house 3, house 4, house 5, house 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And this is also called the ascendant. Okay. So now I said we were going to talk about who are the lords of the sign. All right. So here are the signs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And here are the sign names, both in the, you know, Western names that we're familiar with, as well as the Sanskrit names. Now, coincidentally, the Sanskrit names happen to have more or less the same meaning. For example, Aries is the ram. Mesha also means a ram. Now, there's a question, was Greek astrology influenced by Jyotish? I believe so. Can I prove that? No, I can't. Jyotish, we know, has been around for quite a long time. There also was a lot of traffic in the ancient world between Greece and Turkey and India, you know, of course, there's the Hannibal did make it over the make it to India. Then who was the Alexander the Great? I'm sorry. Alexander the Great did make it to India. He had observations of life in India. Yes, and horoscope, definitely there is a very strong Indo-European connection there. There's just way too much parallel to overlook. And, you know, we feel pretty confident from the perspective of Jyotish and Indian history that we say it definitely came from India. Of course, some things, there are many things that have been shown. For example, our so-called Roman numerals are actually Sanskrit numerals. They came, there are sometimes called Arabic numerals because there was an Arabic guy named Al-Biruni who started using them and the decimal system, but it has been shown that these numbers were in use in India before Al-Biruni got them from India, and then people in the Western world got them from Al-Biruni, so they said, oh, this is Arabic. No, it's not. It's from Sanskrit. So Aries, Mesha, means the ram. Taurus, Vrishabha, means the bull. Gemini, Mithuna, means the couple or the twins. Cancer, Karkata, is the crab. Leo, Singha, is the lion. Virgo, Kanya, the virgin. Libra, Tula, the scales. Scorpio, Vrishchika, scorpion. Sagittarius, Dhanus, the archer or the bow. Capricorn, Mrigashirsha, that is a kind of an odd water creature. And Aquarius or Kumbha, the water bearer, and Pisces or Mina, the fish. So these are all ruled by particular planets. This is a very important concept because when we start talking about interpreting someone's birth chart, we always look at the lord of different houses. So Aries is ruled by Mars. Now, most of the planets rule two houses. So Mars rules both Aries and Scorpio. Venus is ruled by, Taurus is ruled by Venus. So Venus rules also Libra or Tula. Gemini is ruled by Mercury, and Mercury also rules Virgo or Kanya. Cancer is ruled by the moon, and that's the only sign ruled by the moon. Leo, Singha, is ruled by the sun, and that's the only sign ruled by the sun. Mercury rules Virgo. Venus rules Libra. Mars is lord of Scorpio. Jupiter is lord of Sagittarius. Saturn is lord of Capricorn, and Saturn is also lord of Aquarius. And finally, Jupiter is the lord of Pisces. So, you know, we use these things interchangeably. We might say, you know, Mars is the lord of, you know, so let's say in my chart, I have Gemini Lagna. Okay, Gemini, I might also say Gemini rising or Gemini ascendant. They all mean the same thing. And that means who is the lord of my ascendant? Can someone tell me? Go ahead and put it in chat. Who is the lord of my ascendant? If my ascendant is Gemini, if the sign, and Francisca says Mercury, as does Emily. Yes, you're right. Mercury is the lord of the ascendant. So there are properties of Mercury that are associated with the Gemini ascendant. Now, if I had a Virgo ascendant, Mercury would also be the lord of the ascendant, but there are different properties of the sign Virgo that would apply. Now, the first house or the ascendant is important, and we'll talk about why that is. So the rising sign, the sign that's crossing the eastern horizon at the time of birth, this is called the ascendant. It's also called Lagna in Sanskrit. The Lagna lord is the ruler of the horoscope. It means that the graha or planet that rules that Lagna will determine the traits and personality of the ascendant. And our personality and our general appearance is reflected by this ascendant. So let's go back to me. Gemini ruled by Mercury is in the ascendant. Now, the first house, which has the sign Gemini, the first house is also called the ascendant. But specifically, there's a position within the first house, which is the exact position of the ascendant. But we sometimes will just refer to the first house as the ascendant. So I also have Moon and Mars together in the first house. So I might also say that I have the Moon and Mars in the ascendant. It means the same thing. That has a lot to do with personality and general appearance. Someone having a Gemini ascendant, they may often be a very good speaker. They may also have a somewhat diplomatic nature. Some people complain about that. They'll say, why are you being so diplomatic? Why do you have to try to explain everything in a very diplomatic way? Well, it's just the nature. And some people with Gemini ascendant may also be good at bending the truth or, you know, putting their own spin on things. But anyway, the ascendant tends to govern the first impression that people have of us. It also will govern the general physical appearance and health. Now, there's a good question. Is the Lagna more important than Rashi when looking at a horoscope? So there are, and you're trying to interpret the horoscope, there are many things that can be done. We would look at the ascendant. We would look at the various lords in various signs. That's a good thing to start with. There are general things associated with, for example, Mercury is lord of the first house in my chart, and it is in the fifth house in Libra. So there's a specific meaning to that, and that's a combination of things. When you talk about going to the next level and trying to interpret the birth chart, then it is kind of like in mathematics, going from, from multiplication and division to integral calculus. It's more combinations of things are applying. So the Moon is actually very important because Moon has a lot to do with mind. Now, let's again go back to my example. I also have Moon in the ascendant. So the Chandra Lagna is also the same as the Rashi chart. So Moon is given very top importance. Why? Because Moon rules the mind. And we can also draw a horoscope showing the planet starting from the moon's position. Now, in my case, it's the same, but it can give also a lot of insight, and some Jyotishis will start with that. They won't even really give strong consideration to the Lagna. So the answer is, which is more important? Well, they're all important, and you have to be able to take all of these different factors together. We're really trying to start with the very basic things here and understand, you know, make the most basic concepts the most clear and move on from there. So let us talk about the various signs. And there's another set of explanations and presentations that deal with chart examples and how they, what it means and, you know, why it's interpreted a certain way. So we're going to go through these signs according to Brihat Parashara Hora Shastra, because there are descriptions of attributes of the various signs. So Aries or Mesha is described as having a red complexion, having a large body, very strong at night. Rajogun, the mode of passion and activity, predominates, and it is ruled by Mars or Mangala. And it is also fiery. So it has the nature of fire. So the element is fire, direction is east, the social class is the ruling class or Kshatriya, the Lord is Mars, and the color is red. Now, these, you know, attributes cover multiple dimensions, and you don't have to try to make a one-to-one interpretation. Like, for example, you don't have to say, oh, wait a minute, I have sun in Aries. Does that mean that my sun is red? No, it doesn't mean that way. You can't take anything in Jyotish and make a really simple equivalence. I have to tell a story here. I started out I work in technology, as many of you know. My day job is I'm a software engineer. I write software. And I started out, I am self-taught. I started out because I knew a guy who was an astrologer who was also doing some Jyotish. And he wanted me to write him a software for doing that. And he had a little pocket computer. This was back in the 80s when everybody didn't have a computer. And he had a little programmable calculator. So he wanted me to write a program that could calculate his charts. And I moved on from there to doing more programs on bigger computers. And I really loved the idea of if I could write a program that would spit out text. I thought that would be so cool because there would be things that you could read from an astrology book that would say, if you have, you know, Mars in the first house in Gemini, it means this. And you could just put a whole bunch of these things together and, oh, that's so cool. But now I feel that that is not really great because these are kind of like guideposts to being able to put together something that is very hard to put together in one concept. It's such a dense, packed ball of information. So all of these things, element, direction, social class, Lord, color, these are all attributes that of the sign that we put together to understand the Kundali or the birth chart. Okay, so done telling stories. Let's move on. The next one, Taurus. Taurus is white. The Lord of Taurus is Venus. It resides in the south and it's associated with tradespeople or the Vaishya class and Rajoguna, the mode of passion. So the element is earth, direction is south, the social class is Vaishya, the Lord is Venus, and color is white. Gemini is represented by a couple, male and female couple, or as a pair of twins. I think it was the Roman names were Castor, or Greek names, Castor and Pollux. The direction of Gemini is west. The element is air, indicating the Vata temperament. The Lord of Gemini is Mercury, and the color is green. Cancer, represented by the crab, has an associated color, which is pink or pale red. The element is water. The Lord is the moon. Guna is sattva, the mode of clarity or goodness. And the social class is Brahman. Leo is the lion or Singharashi. The color is pale. What is the class? So the Varna is not described here. I'll tell you what it says in Brihat Parashara Hora Shastra. Shirashodayi Nrimitunam sagadam cha savinakam pratyag vayur dvipada tri bali grama balo nili. So there's not a varna described for Gemini, and this is not described for all of them. It is more to give the attributes that are understood in general, especially when we are trying to put in context some of the combinations. I know that's a real mouthful. At this point, you can just say this is what is given in Brihat Parashara Horta Shastra. And sometimes there are things like what it says is that for Gemini, it rises with its head up. It's represented by a couple, male and female, holding a mace and a lute. It resides in the west, and the element is air. It is two-legged. It is strong in the night. It resides in villages, and it has a vata temperament. It has an even body, and its hue is grass green. Its lord is Mercury. So that is exactly what it says in Brihat Parashara Horta Shastra for Gemini. Okay. You do not have the same attributes for every one of those. That's correct. Yes, that is quite correct. And there are also ones that we haven't put in the slide presentation. Like I haven't said which of these are bipedal, which one of these are quadrupeds. You know, for example, Aries is a quadruped, Taurus is a quadruped, Gemini is bipedal. Cancer is multifooted, meaning more than 4 feet, like a centipede. Leo is four-footed. Virgo is two-footed, bipedal. Libra is bipedal. Scorpio is described as very hairy, and it has sharp foreparts. And it doesn't say how many feet. Oh, it says that the Scorpio is multi-footed. Sagittarius is quadruped. It is actually Sagittarius, if in the first part of the sign it's two-footed, and after the second part of the sign it's quadruped, so forth. But you know, for this presentation we've tried to keep things fairly simple. Now here's an interesting question that we have. If the ascendant is Gemini, but the moon is Taurus, what does the temperament follow? If you are looking at specifically the mind, then you're going to have moon is in the 12th house in Taurus. And we also look at the nakshatra. Now, we're not dealing with the nakshatra in this presentation. We're just starting with the sign. And then we would go on to the nakshatra. There are 27 nakshatras instead of 12 signs. So we would look at the nakshatra. And we would also look at the moon's placement in the 12th house. So then the mental temperament will tend to follow the moon being in Taurus. The physical temperament will be influenced by Gemini, and we will also look at the lord of the ascendant, which is Mercury, and where that is. You know, so for example, if Mercury is lord of the ascendant and is residing in the 6th house, which is going to be Scorpio, you might expect that there could be some diseases there, because the 6th house is sometimes related to diseases and with enemies. But it depends on the aspect. Everything in Jyotish is a little complicated when we are trying to interpret. There are multiple dimensions. It's kind of like, imagine if you had a language that you have to parse in multiple dimensions. That's what Jyotish is. So whenever we start a presentation on Jyotish, we always begin by invoking blessings of Ganeshji. Vakratunda Mahakaya, Suryakoti Sama Prabha, Nirvignakurume deva sarvakaryesu sarvada. Because we ask for his divine blessings, it is such a difficult thing to understand. We're trying to, you know, give you some very simple, basic things about Jyotish, but actually to make sense out of it and to interpret it is a much more serious undertaking. But in general, it's a good question that you have. What if you have the ascendant in Gemini, but the moon is in Taurus? So then moon is in the 12th house in Taurus, and that's what we look at from the moon. But in terms of our physical appearance and our body in general, we would look at the ascendant and we would also look at the Lord of the ascendant. I'm sorry, I know sometimes the question seems very straightforward and the answer is always, almost always, well, it's a little bit complicated. There are many layers to it. All right, so let's continue on through the signs. So Leo has a pale color, the direction is east, and the Lord of Leo is the sun, the guna is sattva, and the social class is warrior or kshatriya. Virgo is multicolored, the direction is south, the element is air, the Lord is Mercury, the guna is tamoguna, and the social class is vaishya, the tradespeople or, you know, merchants. Now, sometimes somebody may ask, what do you mean when you say there's a social class associated with Virgo? Well, there's going to be some association there. The form of that association is not really specified. And we are also trying to understand the signs and the houses that they're associated with according to these attributes, because these attributes will change some of their outlook on our horoscope, on our chart. We are actually talking about everything in Jyotish as if it is a conscious entity, which in fact the planets are. The planets are in fact conscious entities. They are representations of God. They are representations of Bhagavan Vishnu for the purpose of giving the results of our past good and bad deeds. So, you know, anyway, these are the attributes for Virgo. Libra, color is black, direction is west, the Lord is Venus, the guna is Rajas, and the social class is Shudra, which is artisan or worker class. Again, it has nothing to do with who you are or anything like that. It is more describing attributes of the sign so that we can decode the multiple layers that are in the chart. Scorpio has the color reddish brown. The direction is north. The Lord is Mars, and the social class is Brahman. It is also described as multi-footed and strong during the day, and it resides both in the water and in the land. Sagittarius has the color pale. The direction is east. The element is fire. The Lord of Sagittarius is Jupiter. The guna is sattva guna, the mode of purity or goodness. And the social class is the royal class or kshatriya. Capricorn is multicolored. It is in the south direction. The element is earth. It is strong at night. It has a large body. And it, the guna is tamas, tamoguna. Aquarius, now we're coming to the end. The color is brown. The direction is west, the element is air, the Lord is Saturn, the guna is tamas, tamoguna, and the social class is Shudra, artisan or worker. Finally, Pisces. The direction is north, the element is water, the Lord is Jupiter, the guna is sattva, and the social class is Brahman, or intellectuals and priests. So that's it for the elements, for the signs. Now, why do we look at these attributes of the signs? Because we can't just take one thing and start interpreting it. But there are the ways that these attributes come into play. For example, when we look at the house in Vastu, we have something called the Vastu Purush, and different parts of the body of the Vastu Purush lie in different places. For example, the southeast of the house is a place of fire. That's the best place to have your kitchen. Now, we also look at the chart of the person who is the main person who resides in a house. Okay? And that person's chart, let's say if they have a Pisces lagna, the direction of Pisces is north. So you might have a north entrance that might for other people not be good, but for this person, it may have a different effect. There are a lot of ways that these attributes sometimes come into play in a secondary manner. But if you think of Jyotish as something that you can just take simple equivalences and say, well, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, you're going to be wrong. It's not going to really work that way. All right. So the goal here was just to give a very straightforward and simple overview of the signs and the lords of signs and their attributes, you know, so that it would help to make sense. We're trying to give a little bit of this at a time because there is a lot of information in Jyotish, and there are, you know, as you've seen, you ask some good questions here. Trying to answer these questions is difficult. There's nothing that's really straightforward about this or simple, but the elements are simple. We can talk about the signs. We can talk about whether they're mobile, fixed, or dual, whether they're air, fire, earth, or water signs, and so forth. These are kind of basic things, and these are things that you can remember that would, you know, help with having some ground knowledge, basic knowledge of Jyotish. All right. So, any other questions? We still have a little bit of time left, and then we will have a short break after this. So let's have any questions that you have. Otherwise, I will talk just a little bit more about some of these signs. Okay, so are there differences between north and south charts? No, they are just, let's do this. Let's draw something here. Let's take one of these charts that's shown as an example. Okay, here's this one. So here we have the Capricorn ascendant, Ketu is in the second house, Mars in the third, Venus and Sun in the fifth house, Mercury in the sixth, Rahu in the eighth house, and Saturn and Jupiter are together in Sagittarius in the 12th house. So let's draw this according to the southern style. Okay, so I'm going to annotate. So the southern style starts out like this. And you can all see what I'm drawing here. In the Southern style, this is always Aries. So this house here, this is Aries. And the Lugna happens to be up here. The Lugna happens to be down here. This is going to be Pisces. It is just a different representation, but there are some, and it's a matter of what somebody is comfortable with reading and interpreting. Let's see if I've got this right. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes, all right, so that's right. So in this chart, we have the ascendant is here in 10. And so we put a slash through it to say that this is where the Lugna is, okay? And then, the Lugna is not occupied. The second house has Ketu. And then the third house has Mars. The Aries has nothing. Taurus has Venus and Sun. Mercury is here. That's correct. The Southern style goes clockwise. It's the Northern style that goes counterclockwise. And the Southern style has signs are always fixed. What else? And then Rahu is in the eighth. And then finally, we have Saturn and Jupiter are in the 12th, which is Sagittarius here. And then just in case it's not obvious, here are the signs. So this is Aries, and then you have Taurus. And then you have Gemini. And then you have Leo. I'm sorry. Oh, I got Rahu wrong. I'm sorry. That's wrong. Yeah, Mercury is in Gemini, Moon is in Cancer, and Rahu is here. So, oops. I am really not used to drawing the Southern style of chart. I'm more comfortable with the North Indian style. So Rahu is here in Leo. And then that's Virgo, this is the ninth house. And then Libra, 10th house. 11th house is Scorpio. And finally, Sagittarius. And the Lugna is, of course, Capricorn. So basically, in the South Indian style, this is always the same. So this part of the chart diagram, this is always Aries. This is always Taurus. This is always Gemini. This is always Cancer. What moves is where the Lagna is. This is the first house. And then this is the second house. This is the third house. This is the fourth house. In the North Indian style, this is always the first house, but the signs change. So here, this is the first house positionally in the chart diagram, but it is, it has the sign Capricorn. So there you see the South Indian and North Indian style side by side. I hope that helps to illustrate. It means the same thing. It would be interpreted the same way. It's just a matter of which style the Jyotishi is comfortable with. There is also an Eastern style that's used in Bengal that uses a wheel format. All right. Well, so we're going to take a short break now. And thank you very much. I hope this was interesting. And, you know, again, it's meant to kind of open up the box of Jyotish where we can unpack a lot of information and, you know, try to make some sense of it. So short break, and then we'll be ready for the next segment. 2 minute break. Thank you.